Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. King Ahab and Jezebel promoted and trained the Israelites to love and worship Baal. They failed to realize that God promotes love and patience, but the flip side is justice and wrath for those who rebel. Jehu and his soldiers started a purge that saw thousands executed for idolatry, but he compromised and used deception to lure the wicked people and slaughter them without mercy. Lying is never acceptable to God. It is a practice that stems from Lucifer. Maybe this is what led to his enthrallment with the golden calves set up by King Jeroboam in Bethel and Dan, even though he knew they were a hoax and political stunt to keep the people in the north from traveling to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And the message I have to preach today is not going to be very nice. And it's a negative message. It's a warning message. And but it is necessary. So let's do this. Those of you in the chapel, would you stand with me as we pray right now? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we have here. And I ask you now, Lord, that you will minister to us. Open up the word to us. Open up our spirits. Open up our souls. That, Father God, we will all understand and come in agreement that, Father God, your will shall be done in our lives. And I thank you for helping me now, Father God, to be concise, precise, and, Father God, present the message so it is totally, absolutely understood. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated, please. I had a very vivid dream this morning. And there are dreams that you have that you don't remember. And some dreams, you know, they linger for a while and then you forget them. And usually a dream is short. But this particular dream was been going on for a long time. I was kind of half awake, fell back to sleep, awake, fell back to sleep, and the dream just continued. And so I felt very bad when I woke up, and I shared the dream with you. I was out in some area, it was just an outdoor setting, and trees, grass, and so on, and it was a fairly large area, and there's a lot of people there. These people were homosexuals, and they were both men and women, and they were the most, the most low type of beings that I have ever seen in my eyes in the dream. They were there for some kind of a convention, and they had gathered. There were thousands of them, and they were good-looking people when they came in, but then they made themselves dirty. They had the bath, like you have a swimming pool, and it was filled with feces and urine. And so the whole place was just very bad. And they would go in there, and they would swim in that and sit in that and do all the different things. And I remember I had a gun. And I was there doing some kind of guard duty, and there were times I would see one of these guys come up, and I just plugged him, and they went down. But they were so filthy. And I tried to talk to them and say, you know, that you're going to get bacteria. You're going to get sick. This is not going to be good. And so they just laughed and said, oh, you know, this is the way we do it. And so I ended up, the dream never finished, and I ended up thinking about extermination. The only way to clean this up would be to exterminate all of these people. They will not change. They did not want to repent. They just want to continue, and they want to contaminate. And they talked to me and said, you know, come and join us. This is really fun. And I said, no. And I remember speaking back to one particular time. I said, you know, I never went and got filthy like you did. My wife and I met. We didn't have any filth. We just came together as husband and wife, the way that God set it up. I said, we didn't have this filth. And he said, oh, you're missing out. No, I'm not missing out. You're missing out. And then the alarm clock went off, 5 o'clock, and it was time to get up. In this message here, we could have a lot of people killed. And so the story, the Holy Spirit, as I woke up, simply shared with me, show me this, that when people are involved in idolatry, it is just as bad contamination as people involved in homosexuality. And that actually, a person involved in idolatry is filthy in the spirit world. Demons crawling all over them. Filthy. Nasty. And the only remedy God has is to exterminate them. And then the Holy Spirit showed me this. The church has not understood what hell is. We have not really understood what the lake of fire is. And so, we're living a good life. We have a little church here. We fellowship. We're having good families. We're doing things. We are praising God. We're living a clean life. But there are so many people around us. Now, what is idolatry? Idolatry is, for example, a lot of teenagers. They have idols. And these are movie stars. It can be on Facebook, they can be on Instagram, they can be all kind of different things. We have movies, television, videos. There's a lot of idolatry where people are not worshiping God, but following idols. And if you notice this, you take somebody that runs Facebook or Instagram, or Apple, these are ungodly people. They came up, they do not love the Lord. They are filthy rich, and they set the standard for people not only in America, but also in the entire world. So let's look for the message today and realize that what took place 2,800 years ago is taking place today. The idol today is not called Baal, but we got many idols. We got alcohol. We got different types of drugs. We got homosexuality. We got all kind of different idols that people have today, they worship. So let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 9. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 30. And last week we spoke about Jehu, how he was started. God told him to clean up Israel, and he started to clean up Israel. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel, that's the wife of Ahab, heard of it, and she painted her face and tied her head and looked out at a window. Now Jezebel was a priestess, and as a priestess, she had what I would call war paint. She had her hair in a certain way. And if you've seen some of the people that are worshiping idols, they paint themselves up that they look kind of grotesque. And so she wanted to impress Jehu. She wanted to put fear in him. Remember, about 2 years earlier, or 3 years earlier, she had put such a fear in Elijah. Elijah was up on Mount Carmel. They had the fire from heaven fall down. We have all the Baal priests were killed. Elijah killed them. And he was totally fearless. But when he got word from Jezebel, tomorrow, at this time, it's going to be with you as the people you killed. And Elijah, man of God, got so fearful, he ran for his life. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. People in the occult have power. So Jezebel now, being the high priestess of Baal worship, she was the daughter of the high priest in Tyre. She painted her face. She went to the window. And she was going to project her spiritual power and simply baffle Jehu. So let's read the verse now. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face, tied her head, in other words, she probably set it up, was like a bush, looked out the window. And as Jared entered in at the gate to the palace compound here, she said to him through the window, and by the way, in those years, glass did not exist. So when you hear a window, we are thinking of glass. No, they had windows, but there was no glass. They had a net they have, and they had shutters. So she simply looked out the window, no glass, and she said, now she called him a different name. She said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master. Now, Jehu used to be a captain in the Israeli army. And she simply said, are you coming in peace? In other words, she tried to dominate the situation. Jehu lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. These were men that had been castrated, but they were working at the palace. And he said, as the Jehu said, throw her down. So they threw her down. Some of the blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. Here's the picture. These three men simply threw her through the window. We don't know how high up it was two stories, three stories. But she hit the ground. Blood was splashed, and Jehu's horse simply stepped on her. What did Jehu do? And when he was come in, he did eat and drink, and said, go see now this cursed woman, and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. Jiro was really not impressed by her. He saw her dead. He simply just said, okay, she's gone. I came into the palace and said, serve my dinner. So he sat down, ate the meal, peace and harmony, maybe take half an hour, 2 hours. He was no in a hurry. And then he said, okay, now, by the way, put her away, bury her. And they went to bury her. But they found no more of her than her skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him. And he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezebel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field, in the portion of Jezreel. So they shall not say, this is Jezebel. I want to point something out to you now. Elijah had prophesied, Ahab, you go to war. You're going to die. The dogs are going to lick up your blood from your chariot. He simply said, put that fellow in prison. When I come back, I'm going to deal with him. Well, Ahab come back dead. They washed his chariots. The dog licked his blood. Prophecy will always be fulfilled. Elijah said, Jezebel, the dogs are going to eat her. And they did. We have a prophecy now that we're coming down toward the Antichrist. We talked about that for probably many years. But I want to tell you now, it is tightening up. The time of the Antichrist is not a couple of hundred years in the future. It might be 5 years. It might be 20 years. It might be 1 year. It is getting very, very close. And we need to take heed of prophecy. Because, you see, when we come in this end time, we cannot live like we have lived before. Things are going to change. If I would have told you 10 years ago that this is going to be a pandemic, they're going to get a vaccine that is not really a vaccine. It is not a vaccine, but it's simply a gene manipulator. It manipulates the genes in the body. And if people in America do not take that vaccine, they cannot work. And you would have said, not a chance, not in America. But beginning today, actually tomorrow, November 1st, there's going to be thousands of people that made up their minds from the East Coast to the West Coast, policemen, firemen, airplane pilots, county workers, hospital workers, doctors, they say we will not take the vaccine. And they have a mandate which is unconstitutional. You don't take the vaccine, you will lose your job. You're fired. In California, we have the chain called In-N-Out Hamburgers. And in one county here, I think it was Contra Costa County, the supervisors, feeling that they had the power, said, you know, every store has to check. You cannot shop in Contra Costa County unless you're vaccinated. And it's up to the stores to have to check the card. Well, the In-N-Out Burger place, that particular place, said, you know, we're not checking. They fined them. We're not checking. And the spokesman for In-N-Out simply said this, we are not policemen. It is not our job to do policing. We rather close than comply. So they closed that particular place, a couple of places down. We didn't live like this 10 years ago. It didn't exist like this 10 years ago. This is the forerunner to what's going to happen as we go further up in time. Now, after Jehu had done this, we're now going to go to chapter 10, read the first 11 verses. Now, King Ahab had 70 sons who lived in the city of Samaria. They were all summarily killed, and then Jehu ordered the execution of all people associated with Ahab, including the family, priests, Baal priests, political leaders. Wives, children, and men were killed. The house of Ahab was effectively removed from the earth and sent to hell. Let's read it. And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. And Jehu wrote letters and sent to Samaria to the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders who then had brought up Ahab's children, saying, Now as soon as his letter comes to you, seeing your master's son are with you, and there are with your chariots and horses, and a fenced city also in armor, look even out the best and meanest of your master's sons, and send them on your father's throne, and fight for your master's house. But they were exceedingly afraid, and said, Behold, two kings stood not before him, how then shall we stand? And if that was over the house, and he that was over the city, the elders also, and the bringers up of the children, sent to Jehu, saying, We are your servants, we'll do all that you shall bid us. We will not make any king. Do you that which is good in your eyes. Then he wrote the letter, the second time to them, saying, If you be mine, and if you be hearken to my voice, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me to Jezreel by tomorrow, this time. Now the king's son, being 70 persons, were with the great men of the city which brought them up. And it came to pass, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's son and slew 70 persons, put the heads in the baskets, and sent them to Jezreel. And there came a messenger told him, saying, They have brought the heads of the king's sons, and said, Lay them in two heaps at the entering in the gate unto the morning. And it came to pass in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, You be righteous. Behold, I conspired against my master and slew him. But who slew all these? Know now, there shall fall under the earth nothing out of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord has done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. So Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men, his kinfolks, and his priests, until he left him none remaining. Now, that is not nice. We kind of shudder and say, you know, that's not really how things should be done. But Jehu here said, no. Know now that there shall fall under the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. I want you to see not that God is love, but it's also God of judgment. He sent Jesus down to earth to die on the cross, to be resurrected so that we could be saved. But make no mistake, if you reject Jesus as the Son of God, and you do not repent of your sins and you're born again, God will exterminate you. He will exterminate you and put you in jail, in hell first, and later he will put you in a lake of fire. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. It doesn't matter what different people say, what the progressives say, what the Democrats say or the Republicans say. It doesn't matter what anyone says. The Word of God prevails. It's going to be according to what God said, period. If you and I really believe that, that should change the way we live. First of all, we should show more reverence to God. And secondly, if we love other people, we should tell them about Jesus. We should witness to them. Let's go down to the next part now there from verse number 12 here. So King Joram of Israel and King Ahaziah. I just got a hiccup on that every time. The king of Israel and the king of Judah had developed a friendship. Baal worship had spread down to the southern kingdom. And the brothers of Ahaziah did not know they had been killed as they traveled north. And they met Jehu. Let's read verses 12 and 14. And Jehu arose and departed and came to Samaria. And as he was at the shearing house in the way, Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah of Judah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are you?" And they answered, "We are the brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen." They said, "You know, we come here to have some fellowship. We're going to have some family time. We're going to worship." And Jehu said, "Take them alive." And he took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 240 men. Neither left he any of them. Think of this now. These are 42 princes, prominent men from Jerusalem. And God is simply saying, "I'm not going to save any one of them. They have rejected me. They enter worship of idols. They're done." Remember, I told you the story at the beginning that idolatry is like you're having bacteria. You're infected. You're unclean. It's not tolerated in God's kingdom. Cleaning house in Samaria. Jehu knew that they had to destroy the people of Samaria who were loyal to Ahab in order to establish his kingdom or kingship. On his way there, he happened to meet the provident Kenite named Jehonadab. And once Jehu established that he stood with him in assassinating Ahab's family and friends, Jehonadab became an officer in Jehu's armed forces, and together they rode to Samaria and started a purge. 15 through 17. And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, "Is your heart right, as my heart is with your heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is. If it be, give me your hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up into the chariot. And he said, "Come with me and say my seal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot. I want you to stop now in verse number 16. And he said, "Come and see with me and see the seal for the Lord." Now Jehu was not really born again, or he was not really believing in the Messiah. He was religious. He was a zealot for God. He didn't want Baal worship. And he eliminated Baal worship. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till they destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. Now, Jehu decided he was going to help God. Instead of saying, God, how do I get rid of the rest of the Baal worshippers and the Baal prophets in this country, in Israel? He devised a method of deception. And he simply wanted to get all the people of Baal back in. Listen to verse number 18. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said to them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. He lied. There are no white lies. Lies are not acceptable. A lie is like cancer. It destroys. It's the very fabric. And it is absolutely unacceptable. Now therefore, he said, call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, all his priests, let none be wanting, for I have great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever should be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did this in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. Keep your finger out there and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We're going to go to the Gospel of John. We're going to go to chapter 8. And we're going to end up in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was murdered from the beginning and abode in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. As we come into the time of the end times, with the Antichrist, as Christians, we cannot lie. Let me hammer that home. When it's come down to the end, you cannot say, well, we got to lie here in order to save our skin or in order to save these people. No. Lying is of the devil. Lying is unacceptable. It is rejected by God. We tell the truth. Or we can always have the option, we say nothing. But you never lie. You never have a white lie. There are no white lies. They're all black. Now, turn with me to the book of Revelation. Because I want to hammer this home. The book of Revelation. And we're going to end up in 21 and 27. And there shall no wise enter in anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination, or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And now we have the same chapter, and we have it now in verse number 15. Same chapter. Verse 15. For without the dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. So we got to learn this now. We're going to come into bad times. It's going to be difficulties. But we do not lie. We tell the truth. Now, a lot of people are liars. And they don't think anything of it. And let me just give you a couple of examples that I want to drill this home. So you meet somebody, and they have bought, let's say, you meet a lady, and she bought a new dress. You're at the party, and here's some friends of yours, and this lady has a new dress. You think it is the greatest thing in the world. And she came up to you and said, you know, how do you like my dress? And you look upon it, it's ugly as sin. And you say, oh, what a lovely dress. You just lied. Or somebody asks you, how are you doing? And you're sick of the dog and says, I'm fine. You just lied. We have to watch it because we are in a culture where we try to be polite, we try to be socially correct, so we lie. And we don't think of it as a lie, but it is a lie. So if you've had someone come up with a dress and you don't think it is great, the way to say, you can say two things. Lady, do you really want to know what I think? And she says, yes, I really want to know what you think. Okay, lady, here he goes. It's ugly as sin. Okay? That's on her. You warned her. Or you can simply say this. This is certainly not my taste. But we don't lie. And this is what Jehu did here. And he simply thought that he could, by doing this, he was doing God's work. You understand that? You cannot build God's work on a lie. It cost Jehu his eternal life. Let's read on here, back to 2 Kings now. And Jehu, I'm in verse number 21 right now. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worship of Baal came, so there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and that house of Baal was full from one end to the other. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. And he brought them forth vestments. He got them dressed up. And Jehu went, and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal. And said to the worship of Baal, search and look that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worship of Baal only. Now Jehu, he's not doing religiously. He says, I don't want to kill anyone by mistake that doesn't belong here. So they went in and asked everybody, is everybody here a Baal worshiper? If you're not a Baal worshiper, we're going to take you out. And the Baal worshippers thought, okay, boy, they're going to take them out and kill them. No, they're going to take out them to save them. And when they went in to offer sacrifice and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men, that's 80 soldiers, without and said, if any other men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that lets him go his life shall be for the life of him. In other words, said, okay, men, go in, kill them all. If anyone escape, your life will be taken. And it came to pass, as soon as he made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard, to the captains, go in and slay them, let none come forth. And he smote them with the edge of the sword. And the guard and the captains cast them out and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them. They break down the image of Baal and break down the house of Baal, made it a draught house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Now, that was great work, but it was built upon a lie. What happened next? We read this. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Howbeit, for the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan. And the Lord said unto Jehu, because you have done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, your children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. And in those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coast of Israel. Verse number 34. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu, all that he did and all that he might, are there written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. And the time that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years. Here's an army captain. He was the chief captain of Israel, the army. He gets anointed by a prophet from God. He becomes a king. He cleans out Baal worship. But then, in order to totally clean them out, he builds it upon a lie. He finished the cleaning out, but he still himself worship the golden calves. He dies and goes to hell. He ruled Israel for 28 years. I really want you to see this here now. We have to be born again. There's a lot of people that are religious. They're not born again. They do good work. They're missionaries. They feed people. They have soup kitchens. They have all kind of different beneficiary work. Food closets. Pantries where people can eat when they're hungry. But they're not born again. Probably one of the great examples on that was this woman, Teresa, a Catholic nun that gave her life in India, Calcutta, and took care of the downcast. But on her deathbed, she said, I haven't found it. I'm terrified. And she died without Christ. Here's a woman that spent her entire life doing good works, ends up in hell. It is important we understand that if God said it, that's the way it is. That's the only way there is. We come His way, or we're going down. Let's give me some over here on this one here. And the scripture I want to use today is found in Galatians chapter 6. And I want to spend a few minutes on this. Verse 7. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. We know today that a mask in front of your face is not going to keep the COVID-19 out. he go through it like an open door. The mask is cosmetic. It's a control item. We know that those people that take the so-called vaccine still can get COVID. It is not 100%. And yet people are deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You cannot lust after somebody else's wife or husband. Get a divorce. Marry that person. And think that you can make it. There will be a payment to make. It used to be in Southern Baptist churches, particularly, that no one could be a deacon if he was divorced. You could not have pastors if they were not divorced. I found out from 1975 and up that we had almost no one in the church that was not divorced. Maybe me and two or three other men that had not been divorced, the rest were all divorced or remarried. Well, God will forgive you. He will wash you clean. You're not going to go to hell over that. But there's a price to pay, because now, here's what happened in America. You got my children, your children, and our children. Mixed family. And I can tell you this. Mixed families do not do well. Because there's jealousy. There's envy and strife. And so we got to recognize we made a mistake. We got to work on this. You can't blame the children and say, you know, shape up or ship out. It's your fault. No, the fault lays with the adults. The child didn't make himself. You did. When you lusted. When you committed adultery, fornication. That's what happened. Be not deceived, God not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that should also reap. So we now got to learn this. If I have a problem, if I've done something that's not right, I need to repent. I need to take responsibility. Don't blame it on everybody else. Take responsibility to say, I screwed up. It's my problem. For he that sows his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. You commit adultery. You commit fornication. You're going to reap corruption. Remember now, the word of God is always going to come through. But he that sows to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So here's what I want you to take home with you today. If you made a mistake, you've been lying, you've been doing things you shouldn't do, and you're stuck in a situation, first of all, get saved if you're not saved. That's number one. Secondly, take responsibility. It's my fault. I did it. Don't blame the woman. Men, take responsibility. Women, don't blame the men. Take responsibility. We're in this together. And say, God, we made a mess. Forgive. Forgive us. Help us. Father God, help us. That's what we did with Jesse and Charles, which I talked about prior to. Drug addicts, prison time, they took responsibility. They repented. They got saved. They changed. They got their children back. They said, we're going to start over. They lost the years. But at least they saved the family. They saved what was left. Let me take it to 1 John. 1 John, just before Revelation. And I want to read that from chapter 1. This sentence is a message we've heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let me give you a quick example. I'm not going to put a name on this, but it's a woman, family is connected to our ministry. They lived in an apartment house. One day, the woman and one of her sons was going to go out. So, they were going down the stairways, came down to the entrance. There's a glass there. And the boy sees a spider. Somehow he gets a rock in his hand. He tried to smash the spider, and he simply smashed the window. The mother looked in horror, took his hand and said, let's run before anyone sees us. So they did. So I got an email from them later on. And the woman said, this is what happened, you know, did we do it right? I said, no. I said, it was an accident. But you ran, you wanted to lie. If you want to make it right, you got to call up the management of that apartment house and say, my son, by mistake, he tried to kill a spider and he simply creamed the window. How can we pay for it? Well, I got to give credit to the woman and her husband. They said, you're right, we repent, and they called up the manager. And the manager said, okay, well, this is an accident. We take it on the insurance. You don't have to pay for anything. Thank you for telling us. Now, the woman said, wow. And I said, now, don't you feel good? You walk in the light. You confess to it. God helped you out. Now your conscience is clean. There's no deception. So this is what we got to learn now. This is the message we have heard of him and declare to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie under the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the beautiful part. We can change. We can repent. Take responsibility and say, it's my fault, if it is your fault. Don't put it on somebody else. And let's say, let's work this out. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, that the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have I ever made any mistakes? Probably more than you have done. I've been a terrible person. Before I was saved, I made mistakes after I was saved. But I said, God, forgive me. I took responsibility. I said, it's my fault. I should have done that. Would you forgive me? If you read my biography, you will see all the mistakes I made in my biography. It's there. So, here's what I want you to do today. This is what I'm thinking with you. First of all, God is not sentimental. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of love. 98% of people living on earth today will go to hell and later the lake of fire. And there's very little we can do. We can probably get, so what do? Well, I've been at it for about 55 years or so in the ministry. But I want to spend all my time to save at least one person at a time. I cannot save a billion people, but maybe I can save one or two or three. If all of us do that, we can get more people in the kingdom of God. We got to walk in the light. I tell people when they come in for counseling, I tell them, this is the way it is. And I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. And this is why I don't have a very large congregation. Now, the pastors that have large congregations, they are not always telling the truth. Because people don't like to be told the truth. People give more money if they are not told the truth. That's a sad story. So recognize we got a witness. Secondly, be not deceived. Take responsibility. Never build anything on a lie. Truth. Even if it costs you money, truth. If you cause an accident, truth. Don't try to get a lawyer to get you out. Simply said, I did it. My responsibility, whatever it's going to cost, I have to pay. Truth. You walk in the light, you will never have a problem with God. You might have a problem with the devil and his group. But if you walk in the light, you will never have a problem with God. And I'd rather please God than people. That's what I want you to take home today. So with that, we finish this message. And now, I always want to give a plan, an invitation to salvation. There's always someone that watching us that is not saved. And I don't want you at the great white throne judgment to point me out to the crowd and say, hey, John, I was watching you. You didn't tell me that I need to get saved. It's your fault. I'm going to put it on you. Here's what you do. If you're not saved right now and you want to get saved, just confess, I'm a sinner. Start one. Number two, confess that God is in charge. He exists. That Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, paid for your sins on the cross, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus, you can be saved. And then say, Jesus, come on in and save me. Come on in and save me. That's salvation. I got more good news for you. In a few moments, when we finished here, the scene will change for you on the screen, the television screen. Three crosses will come up. You will hear Pastor Charles Terrell say, my friend, he will spend about maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes with you, take you through some Bible verses, pray with you to make sure that you get saved today. That's what I did many years ago. That's why I got saved. If you do that, would you be nice enough to call us, write us? I'd like to encourage you. I'd like to rejoice and say, well, praise God you got saved. We appreciate that. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, maybe today take a closer look at, am I really in the light or do I shade things here and there? If you do, make a correction. Take responsibility. If you are from a mixed family, if you got problems, ask for forgiveness, ask God to help you, and start over, and God will minister to you. God loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. But you got to come on His terms, not yours. Here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for the word, Lord. I'm reminded of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, Father God, we thank you for the Word of God that leads us into all truth, that we can apply it in our lives. We can take it with us, Lord. We can rely on it. We can embrace it. Father God, I want to pray for the church in America and around the world, that they will come out of darkness and into the light. And I want to also renounce this wicked holiday that takes place around the world today. They call it Halloween. We don't need any substitutions for Halloween in the churches. We don't need to call it by another name. We need to renounce it and reject it, Lord. And we know that much evil will be taking place on this day, and we pray against it. And any perpetrators that are engaged in this wickedness that takes place on this day, I pray for swift judgment to fall upon them. Thank you, Father God, that Jesus is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And thank you that we are able to have partaken of that light, Lord, and of that gift of salvation and the knowledge of who Jesus is. And we lift up families and friends that need to hear the gospel. And unless they are able to have an ear to hear given by you and the ability to repent, we know that they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. So, Father God, we pray that you will intervene on behalf of sons and daughters and grandchildren and brothers, sisters, parents, friends, that some might still hear the gospel and trust Jesus as their Savior. Pray for every believer that they will know that they can take the Word of God to the bank, that it is eternal and it will stand, and that they will never be deceived into tossing out the Word of God. We thank you for all these things. We ask your blessing on those that decided it was worth their time to tune in today, or to be here or be there in God's house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 43rd part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, The Kings of Israel. King Ahab and Jezebel promoted and trained the Israelites to love and worship Baal. They failed to realize that God promotes love and patience, but the flip side is justice and wrath for those who rebel. Jehu and his soldiers started a purge that saw thousands executed for idolatry, but he compromised by using deception to lure the wicked people and slaughter them without mercy. Lying is never acceptable to God because it is a practice that stems from the father of lies, Lucifer. Maybe this is what led to his enthrallment with the golden calves set up by King Jeroboam in Bethel and Dan. Jehu wanted to please the Lord by destroying Baal worship in Israel, but worshiping a golden calf was just as wicked. The calves were a hoax and a political stunt to keep the people in the north from traveling to the temple in Jerusalem. He took no heed to walk in the law of God with all his heart and ended up in hell with the same people he executed. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1832. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.